Thank you. Item one, Chairman's notices. I'm sure you all know them, but I'll run through them quickly. Sound recording of meeting. The Council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for subsequent publication on the Council's website. We haven't got any members of the public. In event of a fire, a siren will sound. Please use the fire exits marked with the green running man, and the assembly point is outside the main entrance in the car park. Health and safety. Please be advised of the different levels of flooring within the council chamber. We don't want any accidents tonight, or deliberate falls either. CCTV, we're being monitored and recorded by CCTV. Apologies for absence.
I have apologies from Councillor Miss Lewis, Councillor McKenzie, Councillor Shrimpton and Councillor Perlman. And we have Councillor Dobson attending as substitute for Councillor Shrimpton, Councillor Durham as a substitute for Councillor McKenzie, and Councillor Thompson as a substitute for Councillor Perlman.
Thank you. To confirm the minutes of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee held on the 8th of March.
Agreed.
Pages 178 to 186. The rest is appendices. Thank heavens. Agreed?
Yes.
Thank you. Disclosure of interests. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraphs 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. Members are reminded that they are also required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware that should the need arise throughout the meeting. Any disclosures of interest? None. Thank you. Before we go on, could I just ask, is my hearing aid whistling that you can hear?
No.
Good. Ah! I now adjourn the meeting and hand over.
He's whistling now.
I also have a bit more tea, that
thank you.
Okay, members, thank you. So we've covered item four, and there are no additional disclosures of interest from me. I had thought that maybe you'd have had the opportunity to do the good news, and I was going to have to move on to the bad news, but at least I get the opportunity to do that as well. So item five, public participation, there is none. Item six is the good news announcements. Well, quite a few of those, apparently. Filming in the district, the public relations manager has recently been coordinating the filming of ITV's Tales of the Coast, which involved Robson Green. It took place yesterday, and he took part in a small version of the Modern Mud Race, along with 10 other willing participants who have been encouraged to take part. Were any of those council officers?
No, unfortunately.
That's disappointing. From their initial inquiry to undertaking, the actual filming was just over 2 weeks, and both the production team and Robson Green were extremely impressed and appreciative of the way in which their many requests have been met with a can-do attitude from the council. Her Majesty's 90th birthday on Thursday the 21st, there were two events which have been organised by the Council to mark Her Majesty's 90th birthday, a plaque unveiling on Hythe Quay at 2:30 and a sunset parade and beacon lighting ceremony from 7 o'clock in the Amphitheatre Promenade Park. There will be a combined cadet parade led by 18 drummers from the Essex Corps of Drums, and everyone is welcome. and then housing benefit and council tax support, prompt calculation and payment of housing benefit and council tax support claims can help prevent rent arrears and homelessness, but also other financial pressures on already vulnerable households. Pleased to report that despite the overall volumes of work increasing, we've been able to exceed our performance targets. Target for dealing with new benefit claims was 16 days. We achieved 14.55, and the national average is 23. So that is all extremely good news. But there is more. The collection of council tax and business rates. There's been a sustained and actually improved performance from 98.3 to 98.7, and apprenticeships. We covered some of these off last time, I thought.
Apprenticeships.
We're pleased to report that we have appointed our second apprentice within the customer services team. We're about to start the recruitment for our third apprentice. And then the EU referendum across the country. We've seen a lot of interest in the EU referendum with numbers of postal vote applications increasing. This is a very positive indication of the country's interest in this extremely important decision. There you go. I think we all agree with that. Moving on to item 7, corporate health and safety. Carl.
Thank you, Chairman. This is the usual quarterly report on health and safety. The number of accidents for quarter four is highlighted in paragraph 3.1, and as you can see, there were three. And there were also five reported incidents of unacceptable behaviour during quarter four, which is a slight increase compared to previous quarters. Highlighted in Appendix 1 is the progress to the Health and Safety Plan for 15-16, which was discussed at the most recent Health and Safety Committee, which is an officer meeting, and also Appendix 2 highlights the Health and Safety Action Plan for 16-17 for this committee to approve. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Councillor Durham.
No, thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Chair, I find it quite interesting, given the lack of trips and falls in this room, because not that long ago we were told there'd been 10, and there was urgent requirement to undertake some very expensive alterations, and all of a sudden there are none. Perhaps.
I think it's an encouraging sign if people walk around with their eyes.
Stripey tape has done the same as a £50,000 refit.
It would seem that way. Is the report noted? Okay, excellent. Item 9, business plan 16-17.
Carl.
Oh, sorry, it was highlighted like, for some reason. So, HR investigations proposed changes to HR appeals procedures. Is that one for you, Dawn? Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. This report has come to the FNC committee as a result of a review of HR policies to seek continued improvement in the way we carry out our affairs within the council. The committee is asked to seek approval to new arrangements under the main headings of disciplinary grievance investigations where there is perhaps a quite complicated investigation to be carried out, and in addition to that, in terms of when there is a requirement for a committee to hear an appeal. As with lots of relatively small organisations, we are faced with similar challenges around the fact that one thing is fortunate that we do not have many cases which lead to an appeal situation. But on the other hand, the consequence of that is that we lack really the experience and the reinforced learning required to carry out a thorough investigation. The investigation is essential to the whole process, and without a thorough investigation, then the rest of the process can be a question. So what practice has been on a very rare occasion that when we have a particular difficult case, we will look to outsource that investigation to to an internal investigator that will be within HR that can spend their sole time on that, which reduces the time in which the investigation takes place. And there's always a conflict with officers when they've got their day job to be able to find the time to do that. And the consequences often can be that they therefore take a long time to complete the investigation, which has a detrimental effect for the person concerned and potentially places the council at more risk of a legal claim. So that is the first point to note. The second point is in terms of the appeals procedure. We have a number of different HR policies where there may be a situation that leads to an appeal, but primarily where it is really essential that we make sure we comply with ACAS's guidance is in terms of course, dismissal, which will be from primarily a disciplinary process. Again, the same situation can occur because they are so few and far between. You as council, those of you who sit on the subcommittee, although you have training, will not be able to most probably reinforce that learning because you're not having a sufficient exposure to these things. So it's good and it's bad in the same breath, really. And we need to, yet again, ensure that we deal with these expediently. In quite a vast number of organisations, they are dealt with by a senior manager panel. And we are seeking your approval to undertake that with regard to our policies and that revision, with an exception to any post at director level above, where the IND committee would hear such a situation in the same way as they do currently for statutory officers. I'll take any questions from you.
I mean, hopefully these are fairly uncontroversial changes and kind of bring our HR policies and procedures into the real world. Any questions or comments, or are those agreed? Councillor Mrs. Arcevedo.
Thank you. Just a question, please, through you, Chair, if you don't mind. Cost. If we agree to the proposal here, is the cost going to be less than if we were on these, as you said, very rare occasions, having to outsource from, you know, a different state? Would that not be more cost effective for the council?
We have actually undertaken some costings, and when we actually undertake internal investigations, it actually is cheaper. Whether the unit price may be higher in some respects, it depends on the level of officers that are involved in a case, and obviously the more serious, the more senior manager be, and the more senior manager level, it's like much more expensive. But if you take that into account, and also the time that most probably would be associated with others that need to be involved in terms of HR and so on, but also in terms of, because of all the reasons I stated, that it gives us a risk if we were then potentially to go to an employment tribunal, then obviously, you know, it would be better if we perhaps try to be more professional and efficient at the early stages.
Plus, these things need to be expedited pretty quickly because otherwise you end up with a situation where somebody's potentially suspended on full pay for a lengthy period of time and then you're paying them a salary for not doing any work. Yeah. So then
I've got someone dedicated to carry an investigation, they may most probably be able to complete it within, say, 5 to 7 working days, whereas if it's an officer that's inside the organisation has a day job to do too, that could take potentially a lot longer and sometimes can run into weeks, and then it has obviously consequences for the organisation, for the individual concerned.
Thank you.
Hopefully there aren't going to be too many more of these situations. Are those agreed?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, on to item 9, business plan 2016-17. Carl.
Thank you, Chairman. The Council, as we all know, approved the updated version of the 16-17 corporate plan back in February this year. So, as in previous years, we are highlighting the Level 1 business plan to our programme committees. The difference compared to previous years is that we, as directors, we individually took them separately to the 3 programme committees, but this year we thought it would be a good idea to combine them into one single pack, which went through to the Community Services Committee last week and went to P&L Committee last night. So what we are asking this committee to consider is the Director of Resources Plan, which is shown on pages 40 to 51, Appendix 1. So happy to take any questions.
Members, are those agreed, or are there any questions? Agreed. Okay. Item. Councillor Fluker.
I just want to bear in mind, Chairman, referring in this instance to page 51, and we had this third item, multi structure not fit for purpose, was actually on that plan, and then it was removed. But I just wondered if the Director of Resources could explain how she plans to mitigate this and how to move this forward, because my understanding was that we were hoping to do it before we started the next municipal year, rather than the municipal year that starts in March 2017 as part of the cost-saving exercise. So I'll turn that on next time.
Thank you, Councillor Fluker.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Thank you for your question, Councillor Fluker. What we have is on the 16-17 audit plan that there will be a review of the committee structures which we carry out by internal audit. So we are hoping that any recommendations could be implemented in time for the 17-18 sort of budget setting process.
So, Chairman, can I come back just for clarity? This corporate risk, are we just considering daytime meetings, or are we also considering anything else with regards to the committee structure?
Certainly, personally, I can't see how moving meetings to a daytime arrangement overcomes a committee structure that's not fit for purpose. It doesn't seem to do anything other than just change the time of day. But maybe the office can tell us. I accept that. I'm about to pass it on to the director, Councillor Fluker. I'm just giving some preemptive remarks, which I believe I'm entitled to do.
It's a great pleasure to listen.
Okay. In response to your question, Councillor Fluker, the daytime meeting, I think we discussed that at the Audit Committee as well as Overall Scrutiny Committee. I'm very conscious of the recommendations made by those committees. The review of the committee structure under the internal audit plan is not just... it's not merely about moving it to daytime. The scope of which has not been finalised and confirmed yet. The terms of reference has not even been drafted. So in due course, we'll be consulting with the leader, deputy leader, and the chairman of the three programme committees, because they will have an idea to or input to the terms of reference, which is scheduled to take place from quarter two.
Okay.
Well, Chairman, to save a lot of time, it would have been good if we'd had that in the mitigation action, because there's clearly more going on in this particular corporate list than meets the eye when looking at this. But I'm grateful for the update, and I look forward to seeing this expanded upon later. Thank you.
Understood. Any other comments? Are those business plans agreed?
Great.
Thank you. Moving on to item 10, the staff pay award.
Thank you, Chairman. This report is trying to seek approval to pay the 1% increase to staff, which is currently offered by the employer, SAI, from the LGA, on behalf of all the employers. So this is what is perceived to be a minimum increase that is proposing. So we have, as members might recall, budgeted for a 1% increase as part of our 16-17 budget. So implementing this 1% increase will not have any financial implication to the council. So we have done it in the past, and we try to do it as quickly as possible so that our staff can get a pay increase as soon as this is implemented. So we are seeking for this committee to consider the 1% pay increase from April and as budgeted. So happy to take any questions.
So members, as you know, we moved from local pay bargaining to national pay bargaining, I think, two or three years ago now, and so we are essentially bound by the national pay award, which is going to be at least 1%. And so this is a 1% increase now. If what is finally agreed is more than 1%, then that will obviously have to be backdated to April as well. But let's wait to see what happens on the negotiations. Councillor Elliott.
Thank you.
Two small questions. Does this relate to all employees, or is it just the lower paid employees? It's one question. And secondly, you say this is a minimum of 1%. If the agreement turns out to be less than 1%, how are we going to deal with that? Or is there absolutely no chance at all?
Well, it's, essentially, I don't think there's any chance of it being less than 1% because that's what's been offered by the employers as part of that negotiation process. So having made an offer of 1%, it's going to be very difficult for them to take it off the table when they've offered that. The question is whether or not it's going to be accepted. But I'll let the Director of Resources respond to the first question.
Yeah, the first part of the question, it does apply to all employees. All employees, yeah.
Is that including the Chief Executive as well, or is her agreement separate?
The agreement has now been settled from the Chief Executive, okay. So which is at 1%.
1% as well. Okay, is that agreed, members?
Agreed.
Okay. Item 11, strategic and financial planning process.
Thank you, Chairman. So at the time of budget approval back in February, the budget gap for the Council for 17-18 was at about £620,000 for 17-18, and obviously at that meeting we had the amendment on the parking income, and also subsequent to the meeting we also had the local government finance settlement, which actually increased our grants by about £51k, and also the parking income, which had 124 income. So in effect, the gap is now being reduced to about 445k, and if members make a decision about increasing the council tax by £5, then what was initially built into the medium-term financial plan was a 1.5% increase. The £5 would equate to about 2.7%, so the gap would be about 392k, so which is still a sizable gap. So we obviously need to make sure that we've got plans in place to address the gap, and some of the items that we are going to set out our approach is highlighting paragraph 3.4. That paragraph was also included as part of our 16-17 budget report. So Appendix 1 sets out the approach and the timeline to the key dates of the budget setting timetable for 17-18. So some of the things I want to highlight is Star Chamber meetings with the leader, deputy leader, and the chairman of the three program committees. The first round of those Star Chamber meetings, we're proposing to hold those in June, because by then we should be able to look at and review our corporate objectives and priorities for 17-18 beyond. We should by then have the actual final 15-16 expenditure position so that we compare that with previous years, and any underspend, whether that could be made in future years, whether that is ongoing or not, basically. And also we should be able to look at our existing fees and charges policy and whether we are maximising our fees. And by then we should have the first round of the budget savings proposals that will be submitted by officers. So that will be the June meeting. And following from that, we're proposing to hold a member seminar informing all the members about the outcome of those Star Chamber meetings, and also they'll be able to contribute to the budget savings proposals that have been put forward by officers. And then I'll take a report back to this committee in July. And then the detailed budget setting cycle or process will take place during the summer, which is the same as last year. And then we're proposing to have the second round of the Star Chamber meetings in October. Again, that's challenging any new proposals that's been submitted by officers during the summer, and also the following on any actions that came out of the, or that will come out from the previous members' seminar. On page 2 of Appendix 1, member seminar, I know that at the moment it mentioned about having the member seminar on the 1st of October. I'm afraid that is a typo. We haven't set the date yet. It's likely to be later in October. So again, you know, that member seminar will try to inform members of the outcome of the Star Chamber meetings, and then we're proposing to tick the capital items, budget savings in the November cycle.
which is the same as last year, which was a lot more helpful than bringing that to the January committee. So again, council tax setting January and then followed by council in February, very usual budget setting timetable. So we are asking this committee to approve the budget setting process. It's highlighted in Appendix 1.
So as members know, we bought ourselves some time with the additional car parking income that's coming in, and so, you know, 16-17 is actually in relatively good shape. It's getting worse from there on in, and this council is going to have to take some relatively tough decisions both on the income and on the expenditure line, and so this is really setting out the process that needs to happen for that to take place. Is that agreed, or are there any questions? Councillor Harker?
I'll scratch it.
Sorry. Okay, members, is that agreed? Thank you. Item 12, the revised 16-17 budget.
Yep, thank you, Chairman. So this is a report setting out the discussion that took place in this chamber on the 4th of February, taking into account the amended parking fees and charges, which would generate about £124,000 of income, which we need to include in the 16-17 budget, and also taking into account the final settlement, which was announced on the 8th of February. So in total, in Appendix 1, you'll be able to see in the line of transport services where the £124,000 has gone to a revised budget, and then the grant has been amended by about £63,000, as highlighted in paragraph 3.3. So initially we were going to draw down from balances of £184,000, but taking into account those additional income, we're now going to make a contribution to a reserve of £3,000. So it is recommended that we revise the budget prior to the first budget monitoring report is produced, so that we've got a like-for-like comparison.
So members, this is just a process point, kind of processing the changes that we've already agreed to the budget. Okay, thank you, members. There are no other items of business that I have, I'm aware of, that are urgent, and so we move to item 14, the exclusion of the public and the press. Before we do so, I understand from some members there are questions as to why this item is P&C, and I did take some guidance from the monitoring officer earlier today on that point, and clearly it's a matter for this committee to decide whether it's P&C, but the suggestion is that both because this includes financial information relating to other authorities that they've given to us in confidence, and also because it relates to confidential business with Essex County Council, this has been approved and is highly recommended by the monitoring officer as PMC business, and I think that is appropriate to hear it as PNC. So members, item 14 is the exclusion of the public and press. To resolve that under section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following item of business on the grounds that it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of schedule 12A to the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test. Can I have that agreed? Okay, well, first of all, can I have a proposal and a second for that proposal? Okay, thank you. It's Councillor Harhood, Councillor Thompson. Councillor Fluker, hear your comments again.
Thank you, Jeremy. You're absolutely right. At 12:36 today, the monitoring officer said that this could be held in public session so long as 2.2.4 bullets 1 and 2 weren't discussed, which yes, I agree with that, and that certainly would have allowed us to discuss this, Chairman, and for the public to see what is proposed to do with their money. And then two and a half hours later, the monitoring officer reviewed her position, and just in passing she mentioned nothing of Essex County Council, but she did actually say that it was commercially sensitive. With regards, I suspect, reading the report, that it was Broadband Delivery UK, aka BD UK. Now, it's well reported elsewhere and in public exactly what they're doing and how they're funding these projects. So I find that quite odd. I accept the first point with regards to those bullets, but I don't think there's anything in here confidential. And if Essex County Council are saying this is confidential, one wonders why, Chairman, given that they seem to be making a secondary approach to us where they're asking for half of the money. But, Chairman, for fear of losing the vote, I'll give way. But I really am not happy about this because this is a lot of money. The Director of Resources has already commented and said that we have a sizeable gap in our funding, and I really do think that the public should be made aware of what we're actually planning to do here. So I will withdraw, Chairman, my proposal, unless anybody else would like to propose it, and then I will second it. Thank you, Chairman.
That's an interesting procedure. I guess the point is, I mean, clearly the decision that we make will be reported in a minute, so it's not as if that's going to be some kind of a secret. I think the reality is, as we can all see looking around the room, you know, this is somewhat academic in any case because there aren't any public here to hear this particular item in any case. But the decision will be reported. So I have a proposal, and it's seconded. All those in favour of that proposal? All those against? So all those against? That's two. Sorry, no, I thought there were several in favour. Sorry. This is the proposal to exclude the public and press to receive this item in PNC. So all those in favour, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six, all those against, 6-2, okay. So we will exclude the public and the press, and we'll move on here, item 15.